agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. It is the 15th day of July, 2014. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll hear from Ed Ussett. He's an ag economist at Minnesota. And we'll take up why and how the railroads have taken a whole lot of money away from farmers and agribusinesses there, at least in the way of delays in shipping out grains and oil seeds. And then we'll hear a bit about the University of Illinois Fish Farm Challenge and how it's working at summer camp with 4-H kids this year, teaching them about world hunger, a little biology, some science, and engineering. And we'll close out our day together with the weather forecast, of course. Don Day of Day Weather will be here from Cheyenne, Wyoming, as we wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers in Chicago as they finished up on a Tuesday afternoon. September corn futures at $3.74, 7.5 cents lower. December of the new crop at $3.81 3/4, down 6.5 cents. And March at $3.93 1/4, down 5 3/4. May corn $4.03, down 5 1/4. And July at $4.09, 5 1/4 cents lower. December of 2015, $4.20, down 5 1/4. Soft red winter wheat finished the September at $5.37 3/4 unchanged, December at $5.61 up a half, and the hard red at $6.39 in the September, down 7 1/4 cents. August soybeans today $11.80 1/2, down 16 1/2. September at $11.04 1/4, 3 3/4 lower. November unchanged at $10.86 1/4. January futures in the bean pit $10.95, and that was unchanged as well. March futures $11.03 1/2, down 3/4. May of next year at $11.11 3/4 cents, a penny lower for the day. Bean meal at $3.79 10, down 9.50. Bean oil up 2 cents at $36.90. Live cattle futures finished the August at $148.57 1/2, up 77 1/2 cents. August feeders at $211.52 1/2, 85 cents higher. And July lean hogs for the day at $133.87 1/2, up 50 cents on this Tuesday afternoon. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. August contract, $99.71 a barrel. That's $1.20 lower. August futures into gasoline at $2.89, unchanged, or rather down 3 4/10 of a cent. That's the wholesale price, or the RBOB. Ethanol futures at $2.09 3/10, a penny and 9 cents lower. And the spread between the RBOB and the ethanol futures is 79 7/10 of a cent wide. That's a penny and a half narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.09. down 5 7/10 of a cent per gallon, and diesel fuel for the day at $2.84 9/10. That's 2 3/10 of a cent lower. Gold futures at $1,297.10 a troy ounce, finished $9.60 on their settlement price, lower for the day. U.S. dollar at 80.39 is up 0.20 at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area on this Tuesday afternoon. Partly sunny skies, a high of just 71 degrees, 69 outside the studios here in Urbana-Champaign. Tonight, partly cloudy at a low of 50. West-northwest winds at 6 to 9. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies and 73 degrees. The winds will remain out of the northwest at 6 to 8 miles an hour. Wednesday night, clear, a low of 52. Those northwest winds continue at 6 miles an hour. They'll calm during the evening. And then Thursday, sunny skies, a bit warmer, 76 degrees. Calm winds out of the south-southwest at 5 miles an hour. Thursday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 56 to 78 degrees and sunny skies on Friday. And Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 60. Saturday, a beautiful sunny day, 80 degrees. Saturday night, cloudy and 64. Sunday, sunny and 83. And Sunday night, partly cloudy and 67. To start the work week next week, mostly sunny skies and 86 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 15th day of July, a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's been an ugly week in Chicago if you're wanting the price of grains and oil seeds to stay higher. It all started with USDA's latest set of reports, the WASDE World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimates, and of course the previous set, which was the acreage numbers as well. So what do you see now?
Well, we've seen the weather influence things greatly, as the weather, as the corn crop, the crop ratings, everything. Last night we saw an overnight trade much lower, and the corn pretty much stayed there, bounced a little bit off it, but the beans really reacted to the little change in the noon weather forecast and bounced back from that to change, to bring us up close to unchanged in the November beans and the new crop here, and the old crop beans, of course, coming just about 28 cents off their lows. So the weather has a very big deal as far as the beans go, because it's the end of July and August that makes the beans, and so we're really looking at the weather very close on them.
And that is because we have cooler weather and dry conditions, or are there other things?
The noon forecast added a little heat and dryness, more enough, maybe a little ridge to the last 3 or 4 days into next week's forecast. But the EU model isn't quite saying that, but that was the American model that came out at noon.
And what do you hear from producers about what they're seeing in their bean fields in particular?
Well, I think, except for southeast of Indianapolis over here in Indiana, our beans are looking pretty good in a 70-mile square around us or circle around us. Our beans look the best I've ever seen them look for this time of year right here. But as you get to some other areas, there's a lot of talk of they're a little yellow, they aren't growing quite as much, they've had wet feet for a long time, and they just don't look near as healthy as the corn does. Like I say, for some of these areas, a little warmer, dry weather be an awfully good thing for them.
And a little warmer, a little drier weather will pop beans up just as surely as it would corn if it was in that stage. Beans, you say, in your area are in good condition, blooms a lot of them, and I think many people are talking about an enormous number of pods being set.
I haven't actually went out and counted pods and that today, but I'll tell you what, I don't know how that they couldn't have. And of course, the blooming and setting the pods is at a higher rate and a little earlier than usual, just because of the way they're growing along here, Todd. So, if you were to just drive through Montgomery County, Indiana, you would think we were going to have record crops and everything.
Corn looks really good too, I suppose.
Corn looks really good just about everywhere, I think, except when probably the northwest part of the Corn Belt, where basically it looks good, but it's a little bit behind because of the late planting and there. And I think that parts of Ohio and Michigan, where they had a lot of excess water early, are a little behind also. But overall, with the crop ratings, weren't as good as they were because we had crummy-looking stuff.
How much rain did you get out of the storms over the weekend?
We probably got about an inch over the weekend, and then probably about another 4/10 yesterday afternoon, a little later. So we weren't bad. We got just what was really nice, and nothing like champagne got there with the 7 inches.
Yeah, we had 5 7/8 officially at the gauge here for the month of July so far, so that would count everything here on campus. But I know there's been 7. I think I had 5 3/4 at the house in Mahomet on Saturday and Friday evening, and another bit yesterday. Yesterday and Sunday both. So things add up pretty quickly, but the crops still look pretty good all in all. What do farmers need to be thinking about at this time?
Well, I think, as they want to watch their crops to see how the weather forecast is doing. But I think if they haven't got much priced on some of these rallies, I know that some of the advisory firms pushed 2015 another 10% today. Others are saying anywhere between $3.90 and $4 basis of December corn. You might want to sell a little more. And also probably in that same boat, they're talking anything close to $11 on the November beans to probably push a few more sales.
What do you think downside on the price of December futures might be at this time?
At this time, we should find some pretty good support in the 370 range. Later on, if we can get through another 3 weeks with pretty good weather, then we're probably going to say that the 350 could be touched as we get a little farther into things. But, you know, for the right in here, the 360 and 370 should be some pretty good support.
What do you think basis has been like, and how's demand holding up?
You know, the basis levels haven't, but I think they will start to widen for fall corn as we look at this huge crop. We know that the farmers have a lot of bins, but I think everybody's going to be looking for some extra homes as it looks along that way in the corn. It's amazingly enough, when we talk about basis, we were talking to some of our friends down in Memphis today, and they're still bidding close to 50 over for bean delivery right now. And we were wondering quite why ADM delivered beans if they're paying up to 50 over just down in Memphis. But that's sort of a conundrum to our way of thinking.
Any thoughts about why that might have been?
You know, I guess maybe they're out of place. They thought that they'd get them handed back to them, because a lot of times when deliveries are made, they go to weak hands, and then they get them back, and they get some storage and stuff in between. So I'm going to say that that's possibly the good thought there.
Okay, so we have usage that remains pretty good. Are you concerned at all that everybody seems to be really bearish at this time? Might it be some point where it turns around fairly quickly, or is the wall of corn and soybeans, if it comes to fruition, just too much for the market to handle?
You know, we are too bearish here. I mean, the fact of the matter is, maybe not for fundamental reasons, but as far as technical reasons and everything like that, I think that's why you saw beans shoot back up so much when we got any talk of hot, dry weather or ridge forming or anything along like that. I think that, you know, you've got everybody that wants to sell just about sold here along the way. You know, they're looking for an excuse to pop it just a little bit. But I do think that because of the fundamental reasons, the pops won't last real long at this point in time.
And thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. A couple of notes. You can find him again on our website at willag.org. If you've been trying to call in to our mobile analyst portal, that's 217-333-3434 number. That's been out for about a week. We've been trying to figure out how to get it fixed, and we know what to do. It's just a matter that the university has moved over to voice over IP or VoIP, and we didn't quite get the transition with that particular voice box. It stayed on an analog phone line for about an extra year, and then suddenly it just changed on us. And we're having some difficulties getting that moved across, but we'll get it done. Don't worry, it'll come back to you again if you've been trying to call it. That number is 217-333-3434, and we'll get that back up and running, I know, really, really soon. I'm Todd Gleason. This is the closing market report. Over the weekend, Lincoln Land Agri-Energy, the ethanol plant in Palestine, Illinois, that's not too very far from Terre Haute, Indiana, celebrated its 10th anniversary. I'll have more about that in later editions of the closing market report and as video up on our website, but not today. Other than to say the celebration, it was great. There were a lot of important folks there from the plant, the region, and Washington, D.C., including Tom Bias. He's the CEO of the pro-ethanol firm Growth Energy. He called the farmers that put the Lincoln Land Agri-Energy plant together pioneers in the industry and said it wasn't easy early on to put together the plan or finances to make a corn ethanol plant work.
They've done an absolute fantastic job. And you look at all the benefits, not just to the farmers that are selling to the plant or the plant owners, those invested, but the community. You know, this is a big investment. Creates jobs, creates tax base, supports schools, supports hospitals, other infrastructure necessary to keep our rural communities alive and viable.
Corn ethanol has been under much scrutiny in Washington over the past year, and the United States Environmental Protection Agency has yet to issue rules related to exactly how much of the fuel can be used this calendar year in the nation's gasoline supply. Bias says that's a better sign than you might think.
We see the delay as positive because it meant they had to stop and read all the comments and hopefully absorb the comments from us and others in the industry that pointed out how they're going backwards, not forwards, in our quest for renewable energy. We hope they change it. We'll see. We should be seeing it fairly soon, but more important than the timing is getting it right. They got the methodology wrong, they got the volumes wrong, and we want to see changes in both.
On that note of change, I did take time to ask Tom Bias whether he thought E85 pumps or E15 at all gasoline pumps was the next big step for corn ethanol. in the United States.
I think you'll see it in E15 because the market economics will drive it in there. E15 is cheaper than E10. 85% or 80% of all the cars on the road today can use it. So it's just like E10 permeated the market because the economics were better. We think E15 will follow suit. E85 still requires a flex fuel vehicle, which is a little more difficult. But, you know, whatever they do, whether it's E15, E30, E85, we feel very strongly let the consumer make that choice. Let them have that choice at the pump. And that's one of the big struggles we face is the ability to offer our product to the consumer.
We'll hear more from Tom Bias and about Lincoln Landagra Energy's 10-year celebration as I get some time to put together some video I shot last Saturday at the plant. It was a soggy but really crowded day. Honestly, I'm really glad I decided to make the two-hour trek south to see the community come out and party at the plant in Palestine. In today's agricultural news, a new report estimates delays in railroad shipping have cost Minnesota corn, soybean, and wheat farmers nearly $100 million. The report was released last week by the Minnesota Department of Ag and conducted by Ed Ussett of the University of Minnesota. He's been our guest on Commodity Week in recent weeks. He looked at the weakness in basis levels versus historicals as well as on-farm stocks to calculate the cost of rail delays to farmers.
The estimate on the corn hit was $72 million. I believe it was $18 or $19 million on soybeans and wheat, another $8, $9 million, took us up to about a total of $100 million. That's just on the grain that moved off-farm from March 1 to June 1 of this year.
And Ussett says there is a lingering concern about the rail issues with the potential for a record low crop harvest this fall.
I'm not expert enough on rail transportation to know whether or not they can easily solve the problem they have, but I think the cost to farmers was there. They have a lot at stake that they do a better job next fall and winter, so let's hope they figure that out.
Ussett says the rail delays resulted from the cold winter weather combined with increased rail use to transport oil from North Dakota and poor planning by the railroads. Let's stay with transportation issues, but move from railways to the river system. There's another wrinkle in the halting efforts in Congress to fund Midwest Lock's modernization. The House last week passed, as part of an energy and water spending bill, a Democratic rider to automatically debar federal contractors from violations of federal labor law. And in this case, those working on locks and dams, key to the Midwest agriculture, Jimmy Christensen with Associated General Contractors of America, explains.
You can have a simple paperwork mistake that becomes the equivalent of the business death penalty for a paperwork violation. What this means is if you have a contractor who's working on a lock or dam, who's either not paying someone their overtime or just misinterpreting some hour that was worked and not saying that was overtime or not, that contractor could be debarred, kicked off the site, and then they have to re-procure it.
Christensen says a debarred contractor cannot bid on or work on a federal contract. He says the House passed amendment makes debarment automatic without the right of appeal.
So if you're working on a lock or a dam and you're now debarred, you're gone. That's the end of work. There is no appeals process. Under this law, it is you are automatically debarred for 5 years.
The Senate version of the locks bill is stuck in a partisan feud, but Christensen says the House amendment could still get slipped into a stopgap funding measure and passed by a Democratic Senate. And the House provision is retroactive.
So if a company violated the Fair Labor Standards Act 5 years ago and has taken remedial measures, it would then still be debarred.
The existing process allows time for agency investigations. Christensen says the new proposal takes discretion away from the agencies and simply tells the contractor, you're done. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Well, just just one more little item for the day. You know, the National 4-H Foundation and Monsanto have put together an educational series for kids at summer camp to learn how the fish farm challenge is helping boys and girls understand world hunger, world population, science, and engineering. Summer camp, it's awesome. Just ask anybody that goes. It's set up for fun and learning. This year, the staff and counselors at University of Illinois 4-H Memorial Camp near Monticello are trying out a new educational series. Megan Gleason, yes, she's my daughter, is directing the exercise this summer.
Today we're working on Poseidon's Fish Farm Challenge. This was posed to us by Monsanto and the 4-H National Council. Every week, groups of about 5 to 7 children participate in this, where they build a freestanding device that will equally distribute fish pellets across an aquaculture farm. The purpose of this project is to promote the end of world hunger and develop a strategy where we can develop food more quickly so that the growing population can eat.
The kids are given just a few materials and some fish food. Their job is to engineer a way for the food to be distributed evenly in the Fish Farm Challenge Circle, the pond, so that all the fish have a better chance to eat. Hundreds of kids are divided into teams of 5 to 7. They're competing and learning. Take, for instance, little Andrew Hopper from Southern Illinois.
So everybody here is pretty much making a machine, and we're testing it. Right now, my group is still working. I think they might be testing on it right now. And so it's really hard to do this, but we all need food. This is very important for every one of us.
It's really positive for the most part. A lot of the kids really enjoy the activity. They like being able to be their own team leader and make their own decisions. I think the hardest part I have conveying is that we're doing this project because there's a world hunger issue. Even though I explained that to them, not a lot of people pick up on that's the fact that we're doing this. They really believe it's a teamwork activity and to build trust and leadership skills, which of course is a great benefit, but not the ultimate goal. Some of our surveys really hinted the fact that a lot of them want to go into this field of engineering or geneticism, biology.
Not bad for a summer camp activity that sure looks like fun. The staff are documenting the Fish Farm Challenge. You might search, eventually, YouTube for their Fish Farm Challenge videos. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Listening to the closing market report on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day at Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest. It's a beautiful day, cool sunshine, and we're kind of going to get cold even tonight. Tell me about the weather forecast for our part of the world and what you think it might mean for crops and whether there's any danger anyplace.
Well, you know, the thing I think more than anything in terms of what we need to watch is just the growing degree day accumulation here over the next 5 to 7 days and see how far below normal that is. If we have to play catch up later in the season from this cool down that we're experiencing right now, because it is going to be cool for quite a while here for several days where temperatures are going to be below normal over the next 6 to 10 days. All indications suggest that most of the nation from the plains, the eastern plains states through the Corn Belt and the Ohio Valley, even down to the Gulf Coast, will be experiencing temperatures that will be anywhere from about 5 to 10 degrees below normal. Now, we expect temperatures to rebound and have some opportunities to warm up later this week, this weekend, and into next. So more than anything is, I think it's what happens at the end of the season, come August and September, and where we're at then and whether or not we'll need to play catch up.
Sometimes it is what happens in the middle of the season, too. I'm wondering how much rainfall did you see and how widespread over the weekend? For instance, here in Champaign-Urbana, it was between 5 and 7 inches Friday, Saturday, Sunday. A lot of rainfall. Other places didn't get quite as much. How big a rainfall was there and how widespread might that have been?
Well, it was pretty widespread. The best indication is look at what our soil moisture profile is. And when we take a look at the entire region, when we look at Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Iowa, Missouri, most of Wisconsin and southern areas of Minnesota, the soil moisture right now is in excellent shape. And so the recent rainfall amounts have been more than adequate to keep us in a good position.
Yeah, so what we're really looking for is when that becomes a problem as opposed to we're in good shape when those soil profile numbers get too far above the norm then, right?
Yeah, and right now with this cooler air mass, this time of year, the cooler air masses tend to be drier air masses. So we won't see much in the next week ahead here in terms of precipitation. But with warmer weather coming back after that, we should start to get back into some shower and thunderstorm activity. So the trends that we're seeing while cool and dry now, warmer and wetter, should be coming later.
Can you pull up your maps for China and tell me how they look today and what you've seen this season there? They, of course, as I've mentioned many times on this program, raise the second largest corn crop on the planet on about the same amount of area that we do in the United States.
Well, when you look at, again, going back to the soil moisture profile, most of the soil moisture profile in the key growing areas of China is pretty good right now. And while their forecast is a lot like ours in terms of a little bit cooler and a little bit drier, the outlook for China in terms of where they're headed this season looks favorable as well.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us, Don. We do appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week. That's Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. I'm Todd Gleason.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. It's been an interesting ride, and Greg Johnson is helping me out this afternoon. Hi, Greg. How are you today?
I'm good, Todd. How about yourself?
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time. It's a good time to talk to you, though, because farmers are really worried now. They're looking at what I would consider a really good corn crop, probably a really good bean crop in our area, too. And they're wondering what the market will do and how much lower it might go. What do you think will happen?
Well, I think the scary part is that the farmers have not sold a lot ahead. After
right.
the last 3 years of sub-trendline yields and rallying prices into the fall, I think we've gotten into a habit of maybe hoping that the market is going to continue those fall rallies. And so this year it doesn't appear to be the case with the good crop, especially in corn. So, it does appear that there's probably going to be a little bit of farmer selling between now and fall harvest, and that probably will pressure the market. And the end users see the same thing as what the farmers do. They know there's a big crop potentially coming, so they will buy, but they're going to buy on a scale-down basis. So it sure feels like there's still a little bit more downside. Now, we've priced in a pretty good crop already, so I think the worst of it is over, but, we still could go down another 20 or 25 cents, I think.
Have we priced in a 168 or a 170 national yield? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're somewhere in that 168 to 170 range right now, and that could be what it is, and in which case then we revert back to, how much do the end users buy on a scale down and how much do the farmers have to sell and how much can they store. But it feels like some of that corn is going to have to come to town, and that should provide a little bit of more pressure, assuming we're somewhere around that 168 to 170 level.
Now, I know you've been having these conversations. How much storage do you think is available and how much will have to be put on the ground this year? Because we haven't seen it for probably 3 or 4 years, really.
You're right. There's been a lot of space built over the last 4 or 5 years, so that should help out quite a bit. The flip side, though, and the problem is the railroad performance has been extremely terrible over the last 6 months, and this is their relative slow time for moving grain. So if they're not doing any better than what they are now here in the slow summer months, I don't expect it to be a lot better in the fall. And so for elevators that maybe store half their crop and ship the other half out, if they can't get trains in a timely fashion, we could see piles on the ground and even some shutdowns as we're waiting for those trains to show
That'll
up.
That'll add a lot of pain to an already lower price level, I would think.
Yeah, anytime corn goes on the ground, basis levels tend to widen out. So, yeah, I'm hoping that the railroad performance is better this fall, but I really wouldn't give that very good odds.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn tonight is $3.74 for old crop and $3.57 for new crop. Beans are $12.45 on the old, $10.66 on the new, and the wheat is $5.23.
Greg, thanks so much for helping me out.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, helping me out here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is Illinois Public Media.